Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Our Favorite Songs, A Moonlighter's Novella by Anita Kelly, narrated by Deontay Black and Griswold Adams. Chapter 1. Aiden.
Of course, Guy Andrews said as he sat down across from me. It's you.
Guy Andrews just sat down across from me. I did a quick memory check to make sure I wasn't high. Alas, the only depressant I'd consumed tonight was this just-okay IPA in front of me, and Kai Andrews was definitely still sitting at my table, snug against the back wall of Mooney's next to the sole window in the building. Like most squat buildings containing exactly one window, Mooney's, or the Moonlight Cafe, if you wanted to be technical about it, and nobody did, wasn't a particularly fancy place. A fact only doubly confirmed by said window being mostly obscured by black bars and a large neon sign advertising Bud Light. But still, it was my shitty bar, my barely a window, my slightly crooked table, where I was supposed to be meeting Penelope, my best friend, for our semi-annual Let's Get Drunk and Laugh at People During Karaoke, Mooney's Invitational, which my high school nemesis had definitely never, ever been invited to. Kai laughed, or half-laughed. It was one of those charming, head-shaking kind of quiet chuckles that only truly attractive people could pull off. I take it Pen didn't tell you she invited me. My mouth, which I presumed had been gaping like a fish, snapped shut. I grabbed my smudgy pint glass and drew my just-okay beer closer to myself, as if it could protect me. Yeah, that'd be a no. Of course, Kai was laughing. Of course he thought this was funny. He tilted his head. A strand of shiny russet hair shifted on his perfect forehead. Wow, Aiden, you are, like, seriously pissed. I didn't know either that you'd be here, if that helps. It's fine, I said, even though it wasn't. It was weird, so weird that he was here, that Penn did not run this by me. But it's fine was what normal people said in these kinds of situations, and I was totally going to be normal about this. I was not freaking out. What are you even doing in the city? Don't you live down south somewhere now? Kai shook his head, brought his own pint glass, full of something clear and bubbly, to his lips. Not anymore. Just got a job at the port. Oh. What are you doing? Building ships or something? Kai placed his glass carefully back on the table, clearing his throat. Welding on them, yes. Let it be noted, for the record, that I did not disintegrate into goo here, even though I wanted to. Of course, Kai Andrews was building ships. It helped explain the fact that he was more built than ever. He was currently hiding most of his bulk under a thick hoodie, considering it was approximately 10 degrees outside. But I could tell. His shoulders were even more lumberjacky than they had been in high school. I didn't want to think about what his biceps looked like under there. His face was the same. Almost. It was probably 0.5 degrees more handsome, which was infuriating. So, what are you up to these days, McCarcel? Waiting for Penelope to show up and explain herself to me. I faltered, the gears of my brain still struggling to shift from first to second. And anyway, I truly could not think of anything I wanted to do less at this moment than tell Kai Andrews, shipbuilder and owner of a perfect face, about my MFA. I'm in grad school, and walking dogs on the side. I don't know how I'm existing, or how I even afforded this beer, to be honest. Aren't I impressive? For writing? Yeah, I scowled. Kai's face actually lit up with a smile. Like he was proud of me. That's awesome. What are you writing these days? Still. And because we lived in a reckless, cruel world, the earth did not swallow me up into a pleasant dark hole when I said, poetry. Yeah. Kai's smile stretched wider. His skin was flawless, his teeth straight as sin. Awesome, he said again. I can't wait until I can buy your books at Barnes & Noble one day and say, hey, I knew that guy once. We had known each other once, barely,
We knew each other because, for whatever reason, Penelope loved both of us, and we loved her. Because Penelope was the rarest of flowers, a tropical bird, grace and blinding colors, a magical ability to flit between all social groups and leave everyone somehow better in her wake. Kai Andrews, though, solidly fit into one box. Star soccer player, handsome, polite, didn't overload on AP classes like me, but still made the honor roll. He was the kind of teenager teachers would bring up in the staff room whenever he won his latest accolade, pointing at each other and saying, "Kai Andrews, now that's a good kid. Top candidate for goodest kid." I was pretty sure Kai had done an apprenticeship after high school, like it was the fucking 1800s or something. That was the level of pure he was. And I was the gangly, queer boy who scribbled poetry in the margins of all my notebooks, who detested extracurricular activities, mainly because I was never brave enough to join one. A mid-tier candidate for smart, awkward kid we'll all forget about in a year. And now, 5 years post-high school graduation, somehow we were sitting at a tiny table together at the Moonlight Cafe. If there was anywhere I pictured ever running into Kai Andrews again, it certainly wasn't this odd, queer karaoke bar in a deserted corner of a city. His presence made me feel off-kilter, like the filter on the world had just changed and my eyes were still adjusting. His knee brushed against mine, and I nearly jumped. "Don't hold your breath," I eventually mustered. About the finding me in Barnes & Noble thing, which had been a very dad thing to say, like he should have been ruffling my hair as he said it. Kai Andrews was a built, hot dad, and having him in front of me made me feel like a teenager again, running a little too hot, not knowing what to do with my hands. And then, thank God, my phone rang. Penelope was FaceTiming, which I realized with a sinking feeling in my gut was not a good sign. Her face should be here, at Mooney's, and not inside the cracked screen of my phone. But I swiped to pick up anyway, and saw my best friend sitting in a hospital bed, with a big white bandage on her forehead.
Hey,
she said fast before I could even open my mouth. "Pen?" I frowned, leaning in to hear her over the din of Mooney's. It was still pretty dead in here, but she sounded too tinny and far away anyway. "What happened?" Kai leaned over the table, trying to see her too, which brought his perfect face entirely too close to mine. I tried to position the screen at the center of the table between us to prevent any further leaning on his part, but it didn't seem to help matters.
"So, little thing, not a big deal, I promise. Just, oh, hey, Kai, you made it."
Her face burst with a smile, bandage shifting as her eyebrows catapulted. "I did. Can you tell us why you, on the other hand, appear to be at the hospital?"
"Well, okay, I was on my way there, I swear, but did you all know the rain turned into snow? And apparently there was black ice, and my tires did a wee little whoops-a-daisy, and..."
Kai and I both leaned in even closer as she paused. His hair almost brushed my cheek.
"And I might have had a slight run-in with one of those signs that flash at you how fast you're going over the speed limit, which, if you think about it, is kind of funny. Like, I was finally just like, fuck you, sign!"
Kai, the heathen, actually did laugh, another soft chuckle. I frowned, increasingly concerned about Penn. Glancing out the window, I could just barely see through the bars and the back of a Bud Light sign, a smidge of a parking lot, where, snow was indeed funneling through the air, highlighted by the bright spotlights of the lot. "Penelope," I said, "what happened after you hit the pole?"
"Well, first, this woman stopped and was like, whoa, and I was like, I know. And it really is true, you know, how when bad things happen, the helpers are always there, or whatever Mr. Rogers says, and..."
Penelope paused again. I could see, even through my cracked screen, her lip begin to quiver. "Pen," I said, trying not to grow frustrated, being that she had a big bandage on her head.
"He was so good, you know?" She wiped at her eyes. "He was such a good man. We need a new Mr. Rogers, like, right now."
"I know we do," I soothed. "But Pen,
What happened to you after that? Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine. Honestly. My knee's a little crushed, and I guess I bonked my head, and I have a tiny bit of a concussion. And my ribs hurt a little. But seriously, I'm lucky I was just going down division and not, like, 405.
Hey, Penelope. Kai cut in. I love you, and I'm glad you're feeling okay. But I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to be using screens if you have a concussion.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Mikey's on his way, and he'll do his growly thing if he sees me doing this. But I knew Aiden couldn't be truly mad at me if he saw my poor, concussed face on video. I opened my mouth to defend myself. Well, I said, master of fine arts right here. I'm so sorry I didn't tell you Kai was coming, Penelope yelled, all her words running together. And I didn't know if this frenzied shout was because of a blunt trauma on her head or a practice effort to make me less upset. I knew Kai wouldn't care if you were there, but I was worried you would say no. I decided to not say anything in case the night fell through anyway, but I've been trying to meet back up with Kai since he got back into town. And I haven't seen you in, like, 3 weeks either, Aiden. And I miss you. Both of you. And I had all these icebreakers in my back pocket I was going to use, and... Was he mad, Kai?
Oh, yeah. Kai grinned. Like, super mad. I was surprised, I clarified, glaring at both of them. A reasonable response, I think. Anyway, Kai said smoothly, I really think you should go before Mikey or the nurses yell at you for being on FaceTime. Can you ask Mikey to text one of us when you get home?
Aye, aye, Captain, she saluted. And listen, I really am sorry for causing this cluster, but maybe you should both just head out, get home safe. You know our city doesn't know how to handle snow.
Yeah, Kai said. We'll take care of ourselves. Love you.
Love you too. A pause. Aiden?
Oh, right.
Love you too.
Penelope blew a kiss and was gone. I flipped the phone screen down on the table and sat back in my chair, blowing out a breath. I stared out the window. The city of rain really was a mess when it came to snow. The fact that it was snowing at all right now was so typical. Snowstorms forecasted for weeks never materialized. Snow no one expected shut down the city for days. We should go. Except I was feeling embarrassed somehow. I loved Pen, and clearly she knew me too well, but I knew Kai wouldn't care if you were there, but I was worried you would say no. The fact that she had to keep it from me and then call me on FaceTime while concussed to make sure I wasn't too mad, which was a smart move, but still. I wasn't a child. I could be a grown-up about this. Kai and I were hanging out now. This was fine. And the snow wasn't even sticking yet. Or at least, I didn't think so. It was hard to tell what the outside world actually looked like through the Bud Light haze. I looked at him. He had leaned back in his chair, too. A much more acceptable distance between our faces again. I realized the silence had probably been stretching too long. He had an eyebrow raised in question, and it was super hot. Were my facial muscles even capable of quirking a brow like that? God. Well, I said again, my newest favorite word. I steeled my spine a bit. I can handle this.
We're already here. We might as well finish our drinks.
Kai stared back at me for a moment. It was possible I could actively feel my pits sweating during that moment, but that was a plus of being at Mooney's. It already smelled kind of weird in here.
Sure, he said eventually, wrapping his hand around his pint glass, all of his calloused fingers, his wonderful, knuckly knuckles.
I had this sudden flashback. Junior year of high school, I had overslept and was incredibly late to school. I was rushing to first period and my backpack just broke. Like, the zipper just fucking broke out of nowhere and my shit went everywhere. And of course, like it was a dumb teen movie, Kai Andrews was there. Somehow having chosen that exact moment to step into the hall on his way to the bathroom. So we were both scrambling to pick up all of my papers and books, and I couldn't believe it was actually happening the whole time.
We kept reaching for the same things at the same time, so our hands kept bumping into each other, fingers brushing, knuckles knocking, and it was simultaneously the most mortifying and erotic experience of my young adult life. It probably took 5 minutes to clean up my stuff, but it felt like an hour at least. And at one point, Kai shook his head and said, almost under his breath, "God, you're such a mess." It was possible I went home and cried, and then maybe wrote a poem about Kai Andrew's knuckles. He picked up his glass now and gave me a small smile. Sounds like a plan to me.
Chapter 2. Kai. I hated how relieved I was when Aiden didn't want to bolt at the first opportunity. It was snowing. Penelope was in the hospital. There was no reason to be here. And yet, I was glad Aiden didn't want to leave, which was annoying. I didn't know why this guy still irked me so much. Why it mattered that he still clearly hated me. Or maybe he didn't hate me, was irritated by me, actively disliked me, did not want to be bothered by my presence. And for some reason, even though I hadn't talked to him in 5 years, I still wanted him to change his mind. It really hadn't been a surprise to me when I walked in and saw the back of his head slouched over this table, that tightly curled black hair as unkempt as ever, the pale stretch of his neck above his sweater so oddly familiar. I knew he and Penn were still close. She would mention hanging out with him in our texts, or he'd pop up on her Instagram sometimes. Half of me maybe even expected him to be here, but when I actually saw Aiden McCarcel in front of me, I felt almost excited that maybe he'd see me this time, years later, and for once in his goddamn life he'd smile, hold out his hand and say, "Hey man, how's it going? Good to see you." But of course, he'd only scowled. Exactly like he'd scowled every time I even glanced his way in high school. I just didn't get it. I was always nice to him. I tried to be nice to everybody. I didn't think it would have bothered me if he was simply a jerk, another snooty smart kid rolling his eyes at the jock. Who cared? But I knew Penn, and she wasn't friends with jerks. She loved Aiden McCarcel with her whole being. There was also the fact that I'd read every poem he'd ever published in our school's literary magazine. And there was that time we were in pre-calc together senior year and sat next to each other, and I might have glanced at his notebook sometimes, because he was always scribbling something. And somehow, still easily managed an A. I worked harder than I'd ever worked at anything in that class to muster by with a B-. Aiden spent half of every class writing stanzas in his notebooks that had nothing to do with logarithms or exponential functions, and still kicked my ass. Point was, his poems were always really good. It made me inordinately happy, actually, that he was still working on writing stuff. That Aiden McCarcel hadn't turned into an accountant or something. Not that there was anything wrong with being an accountant. If pre-calc was any indication, he would have been good at that too. It just wouldn't have felt right for him. Anyway, it was just weird that he wrote all these pretty things, but still scowled at me so much. Even though he wasn't scowling at me anymore, he had been kind of curled into himself after he'd hung up with Penelope, in that way he always used to sit, staring out the window and unconsciously messing with a loose string on the sleeve of his sweater. It was black and white striped, the sweater, a little loose on Aiden, who was as skinny as ever. His face was a little leaner, a little sharper, his eyes a little older, but Otherwise, he looked exactly the same. He straightened now, tall and severe in his seat. Really looked at me. Like he was ready to do this now. Whatever this was. And only then did it finally occur to me. I had to fight to not laugh. Ever since I realized I was bi a few years ago, I'd been going through old memories in my head, trying to figure out when I should have known. All the things I'd hidden from myself. Realized I had probably been half in love with my co-captain on the team, Lars, for years. That really, a large majority of my entire soccer career from my first middle school camp through senior year had been slightly homoerotic. McCarcel had never even crossed my mind. But I saw it now. As I looked at his ratty sweater and those dark eyes staring me down from that assessing, intelligent face. It had always bothered me that Aiden never liked me because Penn loved him and because he wrote really beautiful words. But I'd only just received the last piece of the puzzle, the one I hadn't been ready to admit to myself in high school. I'd always thought he was kind of cute. Oh my God. I was a shallow jock after all. I'd been pretty damn positive about the bisexual thing for at least 3 years now, but man, rewriting the history you thought you'd known never ceased to be mind-blowing and hilarious. All this time, I'd had a crush on this guy and never even knew. I leaned back and took another sip of my Sprite to hide my smile. Moving back home had been harder and weirder and lonelier than I'd expected. I was going to let myself enjoy this night. So, I said, we should probably figure out what we're going to sing. Aiden's very serious exterior he'd been giving me broke suddenly, a slash of panic crossing his face. What? No, you must have misheard me. I only said we'd finish a drink. We're not... I don't sing. I tilted my head at him. You hang out at a karaoke bar and you don't sing? Still trying that hard not to have fun, McCarcel? He frowned, forehead creasing. He opened his mouth and then snapped it shut. Full on glared at me, which tickled something in my gut, made me want to laugh again. Did I like it when he looked angry with me? I guess I had needled him a bit there. Attraction was confusing. Abruptly, Aiden stood and walked across the room. He talked with the cute girl who had recently moved behind the high table in the corner, stationing herself behind a laptop. It was hard to tell from here, and Aiden only paused at the table for a minute at most, but I was pretty sure he smiled at her, his shoulders relaxing an inch as she smiled back. Okay, no, I definitely still wanted him to smile at me. When he returned, he threw a few small pieces of paper, along with two tiny golf pencils, onto the table. Fine, he said. Let's do this. But I have a proposition. We get to choose the song the other person has to sing. I smiled, grabbing a paper and one of the pencils. I'm game. So are we choosing songs the other would hate or think was funny or something? Yes, Aiden said, hunched over, already scribbling on his, one hand covering the paper, as if this was a school quiz and he thought I might cheat. He added, or whatever you want. And we don't tell each other what we choose. No. He flipped over his paper and sat back in his chair, crossing his arms over his chest. I tapped my pencil against the slightly sticky tabletop. Suddenly, the options seemed limitless. There were simply so many songs Aiden McCarcel probably hated. After a second, Aiden left the table again. I liked watching him march across the room. in those skinny dark jeans and that sweater that was definitely too big for him. He plopped a huge black binder on the table. "If you need inspiration," he said, before grabbing his beer and staring out the window again. I flipped through the plastic pages and holy shit, the options actually were limitless. This was more stressful than I anticipated. But then my eyes landed on something in the C's, and it just seemed right for Mr. Tortured Artist over there. It was a good song, and yeah, he'd probably hate it. I wrote it down. Without looking at it, Aiden snatched up both pieces of paper and brought them up to the cute girl. He sighed when he sat back down. "I need more alcohol for this." "I'll grab the next round," I said, standing. "What kind of beer are you drinking?" I expected him to scowl again in protest, but he only nodded. "Whatever IPA's on tap, that'd be nice, thanks." Having survived another visit with the intimidating butch bartender I'd met when I first walked into the bar, I returned to the table with two more pint glasses. I had been trying to think, the whole time I waited at the bar, of conversation starters that would help Aiden McCarcel not hate me. If Penn hadn't been concussed, I might have texted her for some of those icebreakers. But before I even had a chance to try, Aiden surprised me. "I heard about your mom last year. I'm sorry." I blinked. "Oh," I took a sip of my soda. "Yeah, thanks." It had been a brain tumor. She'd been totally fine, preparing to retire and live her best life. And then within a year, she was gone. Just like that. It was part of the reason I'd moved back home, to deal with the house. Aunt Tina had done a little bit, but I'd offered to do the rest. It was too much for Dad, and I wanted to do it. I just didn't know why I hadn't done it sooner. The truth was, I wanted to turn around and come back home pretty much the moment I set foot in Klamath Falls 5 years ago. But I was learning so much at the forge down there, where I apprenticed, and they kept promoting me, and I don't know. I learned how easy it was, sometimes, to get stuck in a place. I should have moved back the moment Mom got the diagnosis. I came back a lot for visits, to check in during treatments, but I kept going back to Klamath Falls to wrap things up. Even though wrapping things up usually meant staring into space after work, rubbing my dog Jack's ears, and doing absolutely nothing. And then she was gone. I finally came back for good then. For some reason, I came back after she'd already died, and I'd never be able to explain why. "Sorry if that was weird to bring it up," Aiden said, shifting in his seat. "I just remembered, all of a sudden, Penelope telling me about it." "No," I said. "It's okay. I'm glad you did. Most people I know simply pretend it never happened, so it's good to acknowledge that it did." "Yeah," Aiden nodded. And all of my conversation starters had disappeared out of my head now. But I felt oddly more comfortable. I meant what I'd said. I actually was glad Aiden had mentioned it. It brought us a little more up to speed with each other in the here and now of our post-high school realities. And it made me feel a little better about him, that he cared enough to remember Penn telling him about it, that he cared enough to say something. In general, I'd learned I could always breathe a little better whenever someone did mention Mom. Like the grief moved partially out into the open air instead of existing solely in my brain. Always hurt more, but still gave me more space to breathe anyway. "So, Mikey," I said, after another long sip of my drink, "I haven't actually met him yet. He a good guy?" "Oh," Aiden's eyebrows lifted at the change in topic, but his shoulders relaxed, like they had when he'd talked to the karaoke jockey. "Yeah, he's great, actually. They met that summer when Penn worked at Trader Joe's. A small wash of pink graced the tops of his cheeks.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?